Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. I'm Erica Thomas, the editor-at-large of 1819 News, and I'm filling in for Jeff Poor today. We're so happy to have you at the top of this hour. We have one more hour to go, and then we'll hear from Sean Sullivan. He has Midday Mobile coming up. But for now, we are going to try to keep you entertained. And guys, thank you for bearing with me this morning. This is my first show ever to host by myself, but I've had a lot of amazing guests with me. And now I have a new guest with me. It is incoming Baldwin County Commissioner John Tater Harris. And welcome, Tater. And I always forget that your name is John because I just call you Tater, but thanks for joining me today.
Tater works perfectly. That's what everybody calls me, and that's what I respond to best.
I love it. Well, I'm sure you've had a lot going on. I want to tell our listeners one thing. If you have a question over there in Baldwin County for Tater, you can text us 251-343-0106. I'm watching the text line now to see if we have any questions for Tater. But first, just tell everybody what you've been up to since you won the primary.
Well, me and my wife, we've got our seasonal business, and it's tourism, so we rent kind of beach equipment and golf carts and boogie boards, skim boards, a variety of things at the beach. So our business has been booming, so we've been extremely busy with that. I've been busy getting up to speed. The county commission's kind of going through budgets, talking that, kind of learning that process, and talking with some of the other commissioners, and we'll talk about later master plan. And then there's going to the commission meetings and trying to go into planning zoning meetings and learn as much as I can as an incoming commissioner elect.
So you won the primary. You do not have a Democrat opponent. So when exactly are you going to take office?
Currently it's the 11th of November, which is Veterans Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So not long, just 3 months in a week or so out, and you'll be on there. So you've been going to all the commission meetings trying to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, I was at the work session this morning, and I got the commission meeting. It was at 10 today, so yeah, I've been trying to attend each commission meeting, every one I can. So like, I've been to 3 out of 4, I think.
Yeah. Well, one thing I learned when I moved to Baldwin County, because I moved from Jefferson County, but I've also lived in Russell County. I've lived in Randolph County. Of course, everybody knows I'm from Wedowee. I've just lived in different counties. I lived in Shelby County. But when I moved to Baldwin County, one thing that stuck out so big to me is the amount of power that the commission has over the county. You know, typically when you move to unincorporated, you move to unincorporated something for a reason, because you don't want that extra layer of government. That's what I didn't want, really. And then when I learned, Baldwin County actually has special abilities because of the state legislature back in the 1990s. Sounds like it was a long time ago. It really wasn't, right?
It really was.
It really wasn't. Back in the 1990s, when I was a kid, the state legislature gave special powers, including zoning powers, to Baldwin County. And it's very rare to have that in Alabama. In fact, it's one of the very few counties in the state that are able to do that. And so, to me, that was very interesting to learn. So, as a commissioner, you have a huge responsibility. You're going to have this big responsibility. Another interesting thing about Baldwin County is there's like district lines where each commissioner comes from, but really you represent the whole county. So what issues are you hearing that people of Baldwin County are really concerned about right now?
Well, throughout the campaign trail, infrastructure and growth was a big one. One of my biggest ones was looking at improving eastern and western corridors throughout the county. They've just rolled out a new connectivity plan. We've got some work to do in infrastructure. I mean, you know, getting around can be difficult, especially for the people that live here and work here and go to school here. So, we've got to take care of the citizens that live here and focus on us and not necessarily the tourists as much.
Yeah, for sure. every commissioner, when they're running for office, they say, we're going to focus on this, we're going to do that. But what specifically can the commission do about transportation? Because that really is a huge topic.
So there's several projects. I've been to some of the MPO meetings. They just had one. And so County Road 13, there's an overpass there that was proposed a long time ago. I think that's something that's back in the works. I think that creates about 38 miles of connectivity from County Road 13 down, kind of bring you by Bass Pro and kind of connect in over there, north of there. So it could also help the shopping center there and generate, you know, hopefully new business moving in with new traffic. So that's a big one. There's a County Road 20, some connectivity there. There's a lot. Of course, I've got the new Buc-ee's to I-65, I guess, connector proposed on there as part of it. That new road and bridge plan, when they laid out the connectivity, I think it was almost $1.355 billion in projects. And we don't have the funding to do all that now. Current funding, I think it'd take about 39 years. So we've got our work cut out for us, but you know, we can make some huge strides. And they rolled out the, I can't remember the acronym, but it was 30Q program, but they're funding another $60 million. So, you know, to split 50-50 with municipalities, which that can turn into $120 million when you split with municipalities. So to further do more improvements throughout the county, which will be big for us.
Yeah, and actually that program, I have personally seen a lot of smaller projects under that, and really it makes a big difference. So you got like little puzzle pieces you're putting together in each municipality. Those municipalities know exactly where their issues are, and so for the counties to work with the municipalities, it's really made a huge difference. I'm hoping, I'm in South Alabama in Bon Secours, I'm definitely hoping for some particular projects when it comes to the Foley area. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what you're able to accomplish. Are there any challenges that you think might be the most uphill for you?
I think we've got to create a better working relationship throughout the county with our legislators and mayors, and we need to all come together and get on board and get in the same room and kind of lay out a plan for the county. But we need to all work together. That is the key, and that is important. It's kind of sticking together and working together. And, I mean, each city's different. They've all got different unique things they need, but we got to work together. I think we've got a good opportunity to do that, and I want to put my best foot forward to working with the other legislators and municipal leaders.
Yeah, and this commission starting in November, it'll be a lot different. I mean, we've got Skip Gruber. He's the one you'll be filling his seat because he's retiring. Basically, he didn't run for re-election.
Right.
And then, you know, we have Angelo Fermo.
Who's that guy?
Some guy that I've heard of that says he's going to be a commissioner. So it'll be new fresh eyes. I think that could be a good thing for Baldwin County. What do you think?
I think it's going to be great. We've got an opportunity, you know, three new commissioners coming in, Angelo Fermo and Richard Cox and myself. And I think we've got an opportunity to do some good things and bring some kind of outside the box thinking, but not necessarily coming in saying, hey, everything stinks or we need to kick over an anthill. I don't necessarily think the county's like that, but there are some tweaks we would probably like to see made.
Right. Well, the current commission is on the way out, but they are definitely trying to push this master plan. They have released a draft master plan for 2026 already. Some members have straight out said, you know, I want to do this before I leave. But we're going to talk about that next when we come back with you and kind of get your perspective on that master plan.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, we'll see y'all in just a little bit. Be sure to text 251-34-106.
The finest pickup to ever play the blues. I saw the light, I saw the light.
with sorrow and sign.
I can't wait to see the light at 12 o'clock when Sean Sullivan comes on and joins us for Midday Mobile, because y'all have had to sit here with me for 2.5 hours just about. Filling in for Jeff Poore. My name is Erica Thomas. I am the editor-at-large with 1819 News. That's just a fancy way of saying I'm a reporter. And love Jeff's bump-in music. It's always my favorite. In fact, that was Hank Senior this time, another one of my favorites. His birthday's coming up September 17th, and they always have a special celebration in Montgomery. If you're a Hank Senior fan, go check out at the Hank Williams Museum. Every year they start out at the gravesite and they have a little singing over there at Hank Senior's grave, and then they move on over to the museum where they have this huge cake that they always cut up for everybody that goes. You get to go through the museum and see all the stuff, including the death car and kind of what he was wearing and all the stuff that was in the car. You also get to see the history of Hank Sr. and how he was raised. There's a couch that was from his childhood home in the museum that's really neat. And just pictures and stuff like that's really cool to see. That'll be in September, so y'all check it out if you're a fan. We have with us right now John Tater Harris, the incoming Baldwin County Commissioner. He'll take office in November, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Welcome.
That's right.
In on the show, Tater. We were talking about some of the stuff that y'all are looking forward to doing, and right before we left out, we were talking about that master plan and kind of how current commission is trying to push this through. Skip Gruber straight up said, you know, I want to get this done because we've been working on this a while. It's something I want to get done before I leave office. But that might not be well received for this incoming commission. I'm wondering, what side of this are you on? Do you want to see this push through? Because they're meeting Thursday. The Planning and Zoning Commission's meeting Thursday. And if they approve this draft master plan, it'll go to the full commission, which they could approve it by September 1st.
That's true. For me, I would like to see some more discussions, talking with several mayors throughout the county. They would like a little more time for their staff to review and have some comment. And then talking with the farmers, several of them, I've set meetings with them. They are the farmland preservation is an issue to them, and that is something that could potentially devalue their land, whether it's in zoned or unzoned. If the land becomes zoned later, basically you would be able to build one house on 3 acres rural ag now, and then that would change some tracts of land to one house every 10 acres, and that is a devaluing of land. You also have lending problems that you could have with that. If you got that land in a loan and you've got a balloon coming due, they could require you to put more collateral down. They could non-renew you because of that later on. I know one of the farmers, he reached out to an ag lender and asked about it, and he said absolutely, that is possible. So I think we've got to be very cognizant of respecting people's property rights at the same time with the growth that we have in the county. But I also think if we need a little bit more time, I don't know why we couldn't wait and table things for another month to bring the cities and bring the farmers on board and get their full understanding and what they want and what they would like to see. But I think discussion and working together leads to a better plan. I just hate to see something that got rushed through that potentially could have repercussions to be redone once the new commission comes in office.
Right, and so the part of this master plan that you're really referring to is the land use, the future land use plans, mm-hmm. for the already zoned properties. And what they've done is they've set this out in 8 separate categories based on the current character of the land. So they got the farmland preservation, which is really the one I think that has the most contention right now. The other ones are rural preservation, conservation buffer, rural neighborhood, highway corridor, or urban growth, unincorporated village node, and regional economic opportunity areas. Now, the farmland preservation is the one that's kind of getting more heat, I believe. This is the one that we talked about earlier when we had Christina Warner McGinnis on the show. If you want to go back to that too, you can go to fmtalk1065.com, and they have some podcasts that they set up. So all these segments of the show usually go on there, if not the full show afterwards. So y'all can always go check that out. You can also listen to us live if you're in your car and want to take us into work with you. But aside from that, they've set all these categories. And with the farmland preservation, Alan Warner, who's the CEO of Warner Farms, he came out and he kind of gathered a lot of people together to say, hey, guys, wait, let's halt this plan right now. Let's not try to push it through, because really it kind of surprised some of the farmers, especially those that have thousands of acres in Baldwin County, not to mention in previous years, Warner Farms in particular has worked so well with the commission. You know, they actually donated land for Foley Beach Express.
Yes, they have. They've been a good steward of Baldwin County for a long, long time, and have been very, very good to the county throughout the generations.
So I feel that they were kind of caught off guard by this, even though the county's been working on this for a year. And I did talk to the county engineer yesterday about this, Frank Lundy, and he said he's in particular been working on it for a year. But it did just come out to the public, and they're asking people to show up to this meeting Thursday afternoon. It starts at 4 p.m. You can get more information on that meeting at 1819news.com. Just find one of my stories, click on my name, and you'll see all the stories that I've done, including this one. When it comes to the Warner family, and kind of their input is they've gathered all these other landowners, these large landowners, together to ask for more information, but also maybe switch this up a little bit. Maybe instead of farmland preservation, name it an opportunity area. For example, the Warner farms, they do a lot of sod.
They do.
So that depends on topsoil. Well, years and years and years, 50 years of farming, topsoil, you're going to run out of topsoil eventually. So that land isn't always going to be great for farmland. There might be something else they need to do. And a lot of these generational farmers at the end of their farming abilities, they sell to developers and they do the subdivisions that we see. And so private property owners, they want the ability to be able to do that. But there's a lot of stuff that the commission has to look out for as far as infrastructure, utilities, transportation, you know, water, all that. We've got to have somebody looking out for us, because we've already seen all the growth in Baldwin County has led to some water issues in Fairhope.
Yep.
There's just different things. So that's the commission's job. Y'all got to look out for that. So how do you balance managing growth while making sure people have property rights?
Well, I mean, one of the farmers in the meeting I was in, he was like, well, if I do got to sell land, because farmers are having a hard time making money, if I do have to sell land and my land's worth more, then I have to sell less land. I have more land to farm, which is a very valid point. Yeah. And then with the farmland preservation, it seems to be it's mostly with row crops and not applied to timberland. And so if you're a developer, you're going to cut down the trees. So if you can build three houses on 10 acres, you'll cut trees down to build three houses instead of building one house on open land. Mm. So, I mean, there is a balancing act there when you get to looking. So, yes, we have to protect with future growth and urban sprawl, but we also have to protect the people that own land and been here for generations, and protect the people that's got their blood, sweat, and tears in the dirt, and not make their land less valuable.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tater. And are you going to be at that meeting Thursday?
I'll be there.
Are you going to plan to speak about this at all?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Well, we will look forward to hearing from you then. I'll be there. I'll be covering it. We also want to remind you, text us if you have any comments, 251-343-0106. This is the Jeff Poor Show. I'm Erica Thomas, filling in.
I know when to run, you never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret...
America Thomas, 1819 News Editor at Large, and that is another amazing bump in music, Midnight in Montgomery. That's a good one to listen to if you go to Hank Williams Sr.'s birthday party in September that I just told y'all about. It's really cool to listen to that at midnight in Montgomery. In other news, we are just tracking through. We have just a half hour left. I'm only here for another 30 minutes, guys. So thank you so much for sticking with me today. I really appreciate it. I'm so blessed to have so many wonderful people texting in and telling me that I'm doing a good job today. I really appreciate that. Thank you, B-Dart, for your comments. But I brought in another young woman who has really made a huge difference in over in Baldwin County, and she is just such a blessing for us to have. Melinda McGee, you are with the Eastern Shore Republican Women. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Erica, and I will echo what you've been getting those texts about. great job today, friend. Appreciate you allowing me to come on, and also appreciate you and Jeff being such a great friend to our club, the Eastern Shore Republican Women. An honor today for Eastern Shore Republican Women to open and close the show. I heard you visiting with our immediate past president, Judy Barlow, at 9. Mm-hmm. And a little over 8 years ago, when I was asked to join the club, I never thought that I would be in this role, would be president of the club. I simply just wanted to get more informed, find out about what's going on in my community, in my state, and on the national level. And that's what we're all about, is to make women and men more informed voters. Something that you said when you were visiting with Judy resonated with me, and it was that before you were in the roles that you have now, that you thought politics was boring. Well, you know, a lot of people have that same sentiment.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I was one of them. And some of it can be, but it's not boring to know the individuals that are leading us, that are leading our communities, our state, and on a national level. And when I invite people to meetings, sometimes they tell me, you know, I'm just not really political. You know, mm-hmm. And I get it and I respect it. But what I answer back is I clarify, like, look, we're not asking you to run for office. Like, you do not have to be the next governor of the state. Just come and get informed. And then also to ask the question, like, you know, being political, simply being informed, means that you care about who is going to make sure that your family's safe when you go to bed at night, that you have safe food to eat, that your children and your grandchildren get a good education, that your family has access to quality health care and your neighbors do too. So it's important to know the people that are making those decisions for us and to know the policy around that.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I've noticed too over my career, you can know these people, but they also change over time. So you have to stay involved. You have to stay in contact. And the way to do that is to do, you know, like luncheons, like the Eastern Shore Republican Women, that y'all have candidates come in constantly. I mean, really, all the Republican women groups around Baldwin and Mobile counties always have these candidates come in. So you really get to know them. You get to have candid conversations with them. It's not like stuff they would say, like, I'm going to put a pool in at every high school in Alabama. You know, it's not that stuff. It's like, what really matters to me, and this is why. And you get to know them, but you also get to see them change. And I will say, I have seen some just turn rotten, you know. But you can't identify that unless you really know the person. And the only way to do that is to go to these events. I think it's interesting how, you know, they can change. Have you seen that in your time? Have you seen some of these politicians kind of...
Well, I mean, I think in most ways we are really blessed to have good leadership. I mean, I'm impressed with the leadership that we have. But to your point, it's a lot different seeing someone at one of these huge events on a stage or on TV. Mm-hmm. When you come to the Republican Women's meetings or the Baldwin County GOP meetings or any of our other Republican clubs and associate clubs, you actually get to know that person. Mm-hmm. You can see them at a more intimate level, not intimate, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, just, you know, one-to-one, like, no, you know, get a feel for that person. And you can ask them questions comfortably in a setting where, you know, you don't feel so apprehensive. I mean, many people are not going to go to a 800 person town hall and get up and ask a question. But in our meetings, they feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
And yes, things change over time. You know, we've got some things that have happened over the past few years and some things that are about to happen that are great for women and great for Republican women. Just a few years ago, we had never had a female in the House of Representatives from Baldwin County. Never had that. And now we have Representative Givens and Fidler, who are going to be the chair and the co-chair for legislative. And that's huge. In November, we are going to elect our first female attorney general, top law enforcement officer in the state of Alabama.
Catherine Robertson, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that coming to these meetings, it does give you different perspective, and it gives you a feel for really, you know, what someone that you're voting for is made out of.
Yeah, and a lot of times I always say people need to go to their meetings, whether it's city council or commission. I did want to mention one thing because I got a text message asking when this meeting Thursday is with the Baldwin County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's going to be August 6th. That's Thursday. Starts at 4 p.m. at the Baldwin County Central Annex Auditorium. That's in Robertsdale. And if you need to see more details on that story, we have it at 1819news.com. You can go check it out. Click on my name. You'll see the story, Baldwin County's proposed master plan. So sorry, I wanted to stop on that. But a lot of times we don't have public interaction with our leaders because these meetings might be at times that are not convenient to people. You know, you'll have a city council meeting at 4 p.m. Well, people don't get off till 6 o'clock sometimes. But for the Eastern Shore Republican women, y'all kind of have two different options.
Mm-hmm. We have, going back to last September, we started out with forums for our municipal elections, and then we've continued that on. We have our luncheons that are going to be on the second Thursday of the month every month. We open the doors of the Fairhope Yacht Club at 11. We serve lunch at 11:30, program noon until 1. And then we added on a couple of years ago an evening meeting for the third Tuesday of each month that we had held at Moe's Barbecue. And I'm sorry, we moved those to actually the last Monday of the month. We've discontinued those over the summer because we've kind of gotten through a lot of the elections. But we will have our next lunch coming up next Thursday. And what I would say is, you know, go and find a group that fits your schedule and fits what you need. If the second Thursday lunch doesn't work for you, you can go on the NFRW website, which is nfrw.org. You can find a local club. Also, we have our Baldwin County Republican Party. I encourage you to learn about it and to join it. There's a lot of good training about getting out the vote coming up from the Baldwin County Party.
Yeah, and we have some ladies that are listening to us right now, but also the men out there, they might want to come and join. They can do that too?
Yes.
I mean, they can't join the club, right?
Yes, well, they actually can. They can be associate members of the club.
Associate member. Mm-hmm, okay.
And the two biggest misconceptions, I think, are one that, you know, understandably, because it is a women's club, that guys can't be members. We probably have about an even mix of guys that come to the meetings. Erica, yeah. You're at our meetings most every time.
I'm a member.
And you're a member of our club. And you you see that a lot of guys come. They can be associate members. They just can't be what are considered standard members. And then a lot of people think that, you know, our groups are just for retirees, you know, people that, you know, have plenty of time to do all this. Our meetings only last 1 hour for the program. You get there, get your lunch, you're in and out in an hour and a half. So with our club, we see a ton of diversity in all range of ages and backgrounds, professional women that are doing all sorts of stuff. So those are the two things I get is, you know, it's for, you know, the retirees, not for me, and then it's only for women, but that's not true.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And being new here back in 2022 when I moved from Jefferson County, I was really able to meet a lot of people my age and also meet some older ladies who had seen kind of where this county's been. And you always can kind of learn not only the area, but the things that matter to people in these meetings. I think that's why it's so important for me to go as a reporter. I want to know what are the people talking about? What do they care about? And you will find out at those meetings. I mean, it's like going to the beauty salon. You know, back in Weedowee, that's where we always go to make sure we learn all the gossip. But if you want to know really what people are talking about in Baldwin County, you can go to any of these Republican women meetings. And you're right, there's always men and women. There's a mix. And guys, if you're listening right now and your wife or your girlfriend wants something to do, just tell them, go to that website. What's that website again?
And so our website is esrw.org if you want to learn more about our club. But we are part of the National Federation of Republican Women. You heard Judy talk about that this morning. Mm-hmm. So the largest grassroots women's political organization in the country. Website for the National Federation is nfrw.org. And so you can find organizations in your area. And our state's actually won awards for the most new clubs. So we're growing a lot. We've got a lot of clubs. And when you join your local club, it allows you membership into not only local but your state federation and the national federation.
That's really cool. Yeah, so tell your ladies, you know, if you're looking for something to do that's really rewarding but also just informative, it kind of keeps you updated with what's going on, what matters to us. You know, ladies, we care about schools, we care about safety, we want to feel safe in our homes. And so these policy issues are what makes that happen. It's what makes Alabama amazing. It's what makes America great. And so it's really important to stay informed on these things. But we will be back with Melinda McGee from Eastern Shore Republican Women when we come back.
Class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
And welcome back to the Jeff Force Show. I'm Erica Thomas. Almost done. Just 10 more minutes, guys. 10 more minutes. Hang in.
Great job, Erica.
Yeah, thank you, Melinda. Melinda McGee with the Eastern Shore Republican Women is still with me. And you wanted to talk about some things that you guys have been up to.
Well, just got two quick things coming up. So I want to invite everybody out to our luncheon next Thursday, the 13th. Reminder that doors open at 11. We serve lunch at 11:30, and the program is noon until 1, and that's at the Fairhope Yacht Club. The theme of the meeting is going to be women leading at every level. We will have featured speakers Maddie Waycaster, who is the president of Fairhope High School's Turning Point USA Club America, Kathy Morlock, Baldwin County Republican Party Chair, Shalira Taylor, Regional Director for Alabama Republican Party, and Judy Barlow, 4th Vice President of National Federation of Republican Women. So it's good to see inspiring women that are leading across different generations and at different levels. And what I'd say is, even if you're not into politics, if you're into strong women leaders, you know, come out and see us, whether you're a woman or a man. The other thing is some training that Baldwin County GOP is having coming up. That is going to be on Wednesday, August the 26th at Hotel Magnolia in Foley. It's grassroots and activism training. We really need to get out the vote. I know you've probably heard today from other speakers that it's expected that for the special election, we're only going to have about 5% of people come out. The runoff was around 10 and the primary was only 23. That is dismal. And we need to do better in these midterm elections than that. So this grassroots and activism training is going to talk about how to volunteer, messaging, speaking, door knocking, phone banking, all that good stuff. It's $10 to attend, and that does include dinner. And again, that's on the 26th. You can find out more on the social media for Baldwin County Republican Party, Baldwin County GOP.
And also we have next week, this time next week, we'll all need to be heading to the polls. So August 11th is that special primary election. And why is it so important for people in Mobile and Baldwin counties to head to the polls next week, Melinda?
GPS signal lost.
Well, it's just showing strength of the party, because we've heard today, you know, the Democratic leaders, they're encouraging people to come out and vote and disrupt things. And so we've just got to go show the strength of just turning out to vote. It's just so important. You know, people fought for us to have the right to do this. Women have not always had the right to vote. I am a proud Porch Creek Indian, and Native Americans always didn't have the right to vote, and definitely some other minority classes. And people fought really hard for that right, y'all. So, you know, it's important that we go out and exercise it. It takes just a couple of minutes. You can make it happen. Also want to mention that if you need to vote absentee on Thursday, you got to get your applications in, and that is if you go in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went by one of the commission offices yesterday, the annex, and I saw the absentee forms. I thought about filling them out, and I should have, but I didn't. But I might go back through on my way home back to Bon Secours in just a quick 7 minutes, maybe a little less than that. Thank you so much, Melinda, for joining me today. My first ever time hosting a radio show by myself. I've always had somebody with me to kind of get me through it, and I really appreciate you. I've been blessed today, and I'm about to hand it off to the big man. We'll hear from him for a second, but I just wanted to tell you thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much, Erica, for everything you do.
And what's that website one more time?
So the ESRW website is the one you need to go to find out about that meeting next Thursday, esrw.org.
Thank you, and God bless you, Melinda.
God bless you.
Okay, so we are now at the point where I get to say, Sean, please help me.
I don't know that there's anything I can do to help you. You've been doing great.
This has been so fun. I said to myself on my way in today, other than being frustrated at, you know, the ladder on the causeway and people not using their turn signal, I thought...
I do like what you said, though, because I have considered that before. When you pass one, you're like, are they coming back to get it?
Yeah.
It's a really nice ladder.
So nice. Like, I can never afford that, probably.
Right. So, was it fiberglass or metal?
It was metal. Metal ladder. It was like a legit, like, working man's ladder.
Yeah, I mean, there's some temptation.
I felt like if I had that ladder... I might hang the world's your oyster.
If you, yeah, if you had that, was it a 12 footer? What, I mean, what's
it was. It was a big one. It was one of those that's like it stretches out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was nice.
But you
it was,
didn't.
It was probably waterproof. Probably float if you wanted it to. You could probably put a trolling motor on it and go fishing if you really wanted to.
But I get it. I've looked at those before and considered, but preservation of life.
Don't do it. Yep. Don't do it. Do not get out.
Preservation of life keeps you from getting it.
Right.
And how long, by the way, too, I mean, we got to talk about the morality here. How long does a ladder have to sit on the side of the road before you figure they're not coming back for it?
I mean,
at a certain point.
By the time, that ladder?
Because, I mean,
by
what
the
would
time
the,
you could get it
yeah.
in your vehicle or wherever, I mean, they'd be there if they were coming back by then because it was a big ladder.
Okay. So, I mean, they had, how do you not notice that, too?
You have
a feed bag come out of the back of your truck, you might not notice it.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd probably
but
be
a ladder,
loud.
Ladder, also, you would think you would know you lost a ladder. But I'm with you. I have seen them before, and I've had, you know, desire to pull over and get the ladder.
Well,
I have not.
Have you ever seen anything else on the side of the road? Because I know, like, Folly Beach Express after 4th of July.
Where do you want to go here?
Well, what have you actually collected off the side of the road?
I picked up? I don't know that I picked up anything. I thought about it.
Hey, I kind of like this where I get to ask you questions.
Yeah, I've thought about it, but I don't know that. I mean, when I see furniture on the side of the road, I find that interesting. How'd the couch come out the back of the truck and you didn't know it?
I think
they're just, and this is, you understand this frustration because the guy live in the country, and if there's somebody in a truck with a bunch of stuff that might be garbage driving around, then I will follow them because what they're going to do is go throw it out on somebody's property.
Yeah.
But I guess they throw it out on the side of the road, too. Like, I got a couch. I don't need it anymore. Instead of hauling the dump, I'll just sling it out on the side of the road.
Ugh, they're the trash they're throwing out. Mm-hmm. Makes me so mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say what I always see is, like, laundry baskets.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen nice laundry baskets, too.
Yeah, they will come out. And that's just something you also, when you find those out in the middle of the Gulf, it's very interesting. So... now, you'll find, you know, a shrimp basket, that makes sense, coming off a commercial boat, that, you know, that somehow fell off.
Right.
But the number of laundry baskets I've found out and caught fish off them, but you got a, you know, the plastic laundry basket. It's like, you know, it's 2 feet tall and it's got the holes cut in it. Yeah, and I'll be 40 miles in the Gulf and there it is. And like, how did that get there? How did the laundry, the shrimp basket again? Makes sense. Shrimp boat out there working. I mean, I hate to see trash go in the water, but you can. How does? And I've probably seen 5 of these in the Gulf in my life. And tell me on the text line if y'all second this. How does a laundry basket make its way into the Gulf? What were you doing with the laundry that had the basket get in the Gulf?
I don't know. I mean, unless You know, they're on a boat and they use the laundry basket for all their stuff.
Maybe.
Long day out on the towels. I don't know.
I don't know how they make it out there, but they do.
It's an interesting choice for a beach bag. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to me today.
You did great.
Sticking with me.
You did great. And by the way, are you going to come back on tomorrow or are you exhausted? Will you come on with me tomorrow?
I'll be back tomorrow.
All right, good deal.
For sure.
I think maybe you'll be back a bunch here. I got to talk to you when we get off the air. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed rest of your week. Erica Thomas filling in for Jeff Poore. This is